We're going to start in the book of Acts. This is going to be a new series, and we may not go through, like I said earlier, we may not go through the entire book, but before we do something else. But we are going to start there. Today's going to be kind of a, we'll call it an intro to the book of Acts. It's just going to cover the first three verses in chapter 1. So you can go to Acts chapter 1. On Tuesday, I went to an Italian restaurant here in Austin, and we were talking with the owner, and come to find out that the owner, his dad started the restaurant originally like 35 years ago or something like that, and his dad's now passed it on to his son. His son now owns the restaurant and runs it. I have a friend. This friend is in San Antonio. And he used to be one of my roommates, and he is, I believe, the CEO now of a company that many years ago his dad started, and his dad has now stepped back from the company, and his son is now running the company, along with his other son. This dynamic, it happens in college sports. The seniors graduate and move on. And whatever position they had on the team gets replaced by the freshmen or sophomores or juniors or whoever, the underclassmen. They step up and they take the place of the seniors who graduate and move on. We see this phenomenon all the time, all around. Someone begins something and moves on and leaves it to other people now to continue what they began. It's their turn now. That's the book of Acts. Jesus begins his ministry. He trains his disciples. He dies. He rises from the dead. He ascends into heaven. And he passes his ministry on to the church. And the church is to continue what Jesus began, spreading the kingdom of God. Okay, I just preached the entire book of Acts. You guys now know what the whole book is about. I guess we can now end this series on Acts and move to another book. What do you think? But seriously, if you understand that dynamic, one begins, others continue. If you understand that at the big picture level, you really do have the book of Acts. That is the book of Acts. Now, of course, we are going to look at Acts in more detail because there's more there and because the details are important. But keep in mind that big picture. And we're going to talk more about that big picture today. For now, let's read. I'm just going to read the first three verses in chapter 1. It says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God." Okay, this book begins with a prologue, which I just read for you. And it begins with, "In the first book, O Theophilus." And that first book is the book of Luke. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is actually, in your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at, real quick, the prologue to the book of Luke. And Luke says this. This is in the book of Luke. He says, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. So in the Gospel of Luke, the author, who is Luke, is writing to someone who he calls most excellent Theophilus, which was, it was a common name in Greek, Theophilus was. And so he's writing to, and he's probably a wealthy guy.
Okay, so this isn't a general God lovers. It is a specific person.
No, this is, yes, this is most likely, this is most likely a normal guy, a real guy that he's writing to. There are people who say that, because Theophilus means dear to God, something like that. Mm-hmm. And but it really is a very common name in the Greek world, Greek-speaking world of the day. And the fact that he refers to him as most excellent is how you would address somebody who is in a high social class. And so very likely this is a real guy. And so in the Gospel of Luke, Luke addresses this Theophilus and says he's writing a historical account of what happened. That's what he says in the book of Luke. Okay, go back to Acts now. Acts chapter 1. And Acts is written by the same author, Luke. And he says, in the first book, O Theophilus, that's the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. That's the first book. In the first book, I wrote you an orderly account of what happened concerning the life of Jesus. That's what he's referring to. And he then says, and I'm in Acts now, in the first book, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit. In Luke 24, Jesus ascends. He actually ascends in the Gospel of Luke. And so that's from birth, because Luke actually gives us the birth narrative. He even gives us pre-birth. He gives us the angel appearing to Mary. So from there to Jesus' ascension is the Gospel of Luke. And what he's giving us in Acts chapter 1 is a summary of Luke. Luke ends with Jesus ascending to heaven. Acts is going to begin with Jesus ascending to heaven. And so he's going to pick up the story. Is what he's saying, I'm going to pick up the story and drive on. And so we'll talk about the ascension next week, I hope. But let's get some big picture ideas. Okay, first, what I've already said. Verse 1. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. That's verse 1. I want to focus on began. The implication is that it's not done. Jesus began. The apostles will continue. And so, fast forward 2,000 years to today. What the apostles were to continue, you and I are to continue. We have the same job they had. We today are to continue what Jesus began. And this is the story of the book of Acts. And frankly, it's the story of church history. Just like someone who inherits a business that got passed down, that person is to continue the business, continue running the business. Jesus is passing down his ministry, and you and I are to continue it. And so there's going to be a lot, in the book of Acts, there's a lot of focus on the church and the ministry of the church and what the church is doing and that kind of thing. And so we're going to be focusing on those kinds of issues as we get into the book of Acts. What this then means is, for you and I as Christians, that the ministry of Jesus actually needs to be a priority of yours and of mine. That needs to be a priority for us. And it often isn't. Sometimes Christians, they think, well, I'm a Christian, I go to church. So they go to church and they, you know, whatnot. But what are you doing to continue what Jesus began? Well, I'm going to church. Well, okay, that's good. What else? What are you doing to really continue the ministry that Jesus began? And, you know, I talk to people and they'll say, well, my work, it's so busy. I just don't have time, you know? Guys, well, that's backwards. I mean, let's just be clear. The entire purpose of your work is to provide your needs so that you can then help advance the kingdom of God. That's the whole point of work. If your work then gets in the way of continuing the mission of Jesus, I don't know how to say this nicely, but it's time to get a new job. If it's getting in the way, because it's getting in the way of the thing that's the most important thing. Or something more important than whatever the job happens to be. Because God didn't make you just so you can work a job. That is not the point of your life. He didn't make you just so you can have a house. He didn't make you just so you can own a car. He made you to know Him, and He made you to worship Him, and He made you to serve Him, and He made you to help advance His kingdom. That's actually the point. And when work gets in the way of the point, we need to make some changes. And so we think backwards a lot of times with this. We give more importance to a job than to the kingdom of God. And I'm picking on jobs. You could put something else in there. And I will say this, there may be, you know, most of my life, I've actually not been a pastor. I actually worked jobs. That didn't come out right.
Secular job.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I meant. That's right.
Still a huge percentage of your life.
A very large part of my life has been spent working non-pastoral jobs, we'll put it that way, working in this just the secular work world. And so I understand jobs real well. And I will say this, you know, in when you have a job, there are seasons where it's really busy. And, you know, I get that. I understand that. And there may be a time you need to step back from things because it's one of those seasons. Okay, it's a season. And you need to think this way with your job. It's a season. But if that season isn't really a season, but the season is long, or if that season is repetitive and just keeps coming up again and again and again and again and again, guys, it's just flat out time to think about a new job. It just is. Because your job is preventing you from doing what you were made to do. And it prevents you from the more important things God is calling you to. He wants you and me to continue the work of Jesus, the work that Jesus began. And you know what? The work Jesus began was not computer software or legal counsel or managing a warehouse or you know, whatever it happens to be, bookkeeping. That's actually not the, that's not what Jesus began. Those are all good things. There's nothing wrong with them. But that's not what Jesus began. You're called to something bigger than those things. Now, obviously, in your job, you can advance the kingdom within your job because you're working with people. And you can use that, you know, you manage your warehouse for Jesus, or work with software for Jesus, or give legal counsel for Jesus, or, you know, do bookkeeping for the Lord, for his glory, and look for opportunities there to advance the kingdom. But understand that whatever your job is actually not the point. It's not what life is about. But also understand that continuing his work is not just restricted to being a pastor or a missionary. It's bigger than that. So I'm not saying you got to be a pastor or a missionary. No, work your job, but find places where God wants to use you to advance the kingdom of God. It does involve your family. You know, it involves advancing the kingdom involves things like loving your wife or your husband, honoring your neighbors, raising your kids. This is part of advancing the kingdom of God. And so your family is part of this. Some people are so busy with work, they have no time for their family. You've seen that dynamic. That happens with ministry too. Some people are so busy with ministry, they have no time for their family. You've seen that dynamic. Both of those dynamics are going the wrong direction. But on the other hand, there is also this dynamic. There are people who won't do any ministry because, well, I'm, you know, my family. And there's sort of an idolatry of the family that exists in some people. There's, you know, you can neglect your family because you're doing ministry. And that's not right. You can neglect anything in ministry because family sometimes becomes an excuse for that. And that's not right. You know, on the one hand, your family is important. It's actually part of your ministry. It really is. On the other hand, your ministry outside of your family is important to your family. Your kids need to see that you care about advancing the gospel. They need to see that. And you know how they see that? They see you doing something that's doing that. That's actually helping your family. And they need to see that within the family. And so that's things like family devotions or prayer or going to church as a family, these kind of things. But they also need to see that outside the family, like reaching out to others, serving. It needs to be part of the DNA of the family. You're to continue the work that Jesus began. And your family needs to see that. And so I brought up work and family, both, because those are things that often people will say are the reason why they're not involved in doing any ministry, because it's, I'm busy, I got my work, and well, I've got family. And okay, actually, family is ministry, but at the same time, for some people, it's an excuse. And you don't want either of those, the excuse or the neglecting of the family. So then, we're to continue what Jesus began. What's the focus of the work that Jesus began? Here in Acts 1, in just these verses that we're looking at right now, it involves two things. It really involves more than this, but we're just I'm preaching on these texts, so we'll talk about this. Verse 3, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. That's referring to Jesus' resurrection. He appeared to them, he presented himself to them, many proofs. All of that is dealing with the resurrection of Jesus. And that is central to the program Jesus began. Second thing, also in verse 3, and speaking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is central to what Jesus began. The focus of your ministry then is Jesus and his kingdom. It's both of those things. And with Jesus specifically, it's his crucifixion and resurrection. And so here in Acts, the focus is on the resurrection. And you're going to see that not just in this verse, but as we go through the book of Acts. The resurrection is the central teaching of the earliest church. That's the main thing they focused on. This Jesus, whom you crucified, God has raised from the dead. And we are witnesses to this fact. And you're going to hear something like those words over and over and over and over as we go through this book. And so the resurrection is just crucial. And apparently it was really important to Jesus that his apostles knew that he was risen from the dead. That's why it says he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking of the kingdom of God. Many proofs he gave them. You know, he appeared to his disciples. He taught his disciples. You see that in this verse. He ate with his disciples. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and then there's a bunch of fish that they find. He does this sign for his disciples after he's alive. Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Touch my side. And he appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the other women. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to James. He appeared to the 12. He appeared to more than 500 at one time. These are all different appearances to different people that Jesus, after he was risen, he made these appearances to all of this happened. And all these people. And all of this happened over the course of 40 days. That's what verse 3 says. He appeared to them during 40 days. Now, when you read the resurrection appearances in the Gospels, those appearances did not all happen in Jerusalem on the third day. There were many appearances over 40 days. And this is part of Jesus's, convincing proofs, so to speak. Because if they see Jesus on one day only, let's say the third day he rises and he appears to them, and that's the only time they see him, they're much more likely to doubt what they had seen. Because, well, we just saw it once. But if they see Jesus again, and then they see him again, and then they see him again, and then they see him again. And if he's eating with them, and if he's teaching them again and again and again, they're not going to forget that. This is what Jesus did, This wasn't like a one-off thing. He didn't like appear to them once. He kept appearing to them over 40 days. And if he appears to multiple disciples all at the same time, Peter can confirm what he saw with John. He said, Peter can say to John, did you just see what I saw? Yeah, I did. And did he just say such and such? That's what I heard. This is confirmation, is what this is. Because, you know, a guy rising from the dead, if you were to see that, you'd probably be asking some questions. But if you can ask the guy next to you if he saw what you just saw, and the guy next to you confirms everything that you just saw, that's confirmation. That's convincing proofs. See, Acts 1 is saying Jesus gave his disciples this kind of confirmation concerning his resurrection. In other words, he proved it over 40 days. Now, in Acts, I told you the resurrection is going to be foundational. It's the event upon which God builds his church. And he wants the apostles to know it and be convinced of it. And he wants you to know it too and be convinced of it. Jesus is risen from the dead. You need to know that. He's risen from the dead. And your neighbors, they need to know that. And the Coastanis that I brought up earlier that, you know, I just recently met, they need to know that. And your parents need to know that. Your family needs to know that. Whoever is in your world, they need to know that Jesus is risen from the dead. The resurrection is central to the gospel. And what that means is the resurrection is central to whatever ministry you do, whatever it happens to be. You are called to continue his mission, and the resurrection is central to that mission. Take away the resurrection and you don't actually have a mission anymore. If there is no resurrection, there is no faith. If there is no resurrection, you and I are still dead in our sins. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. If there is no resurrection, there is no ministry. If there is no resurrection, can't talk. There is no victory over sin. There is no victory over death. The resurrection is the victory over sin and death. That is our hope. The resurrection opens the door for you and me to enter into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is the central thing Jesus is teaching about. Verse 3 again, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. This is the theme of what Jesus is teaching them during these 40 days. Now, during Jesus' ministry on earth, the theme that he kept teaching them about was the kingdom of God. All of his parables. The kingdom of God is like a great pearl merchant who went out and the kingdom of God is like a man who built a house on rock. And the kingdom of God is like, and the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God, this is what Jesus taught about, the kingdom of God. He wants his disciples to understand God's kingdom. That's what he did when he was alive on earth, before his crucifixion. And then after he is risen, that's what he's teaching his disciples about. And so what that means is if you and I are to continue what he begins, we're to bring to people the kingdom of God. It means your purpose is not just to make friends. That's good, but you have a bigger purpose than that. Listen, make friends, be relational. Jesus isn't opposed to that. It's just that the kingdom of God is bigger than just friendship. It means your purpose is not just to give social help or physical help or meet those kind of needs. Again, give the help from the heart. Jesus is not opposed to that. He did that. He healed people. He fed people. But the kingdom of God is bigger than simply helping the needy. We need to help the needy, but we need to see that there's something bigger than that. So understand, building friendships and helping the poor and teaching children and teaching English and needs to have a bigger purpose. These things need to serve the kingdom of God, and they should not be the end in themselves. They should be things we are doing, but there should be a bigger issue going on. Because you and I, we exist for the kingdom of God. It's why we exist. And the kingdom of God is built on Jesus, on his crucifixion and resurrection. What that means is, well, bring Jesus into your friendships. Do the friendships. Just bring Jesus in. Bring Jesus into feeding the needy. Feed the needy. Bring Jesus into that. Bring Jesus into teaching children or teaching English or whatever, you know, whatever it is that God may call you to do. And all of those things are good and legitimate. Just bring Jesus into them. Because the world needs to know Jesus. And Jesus has given that job to the church. He's given it to you and me now. It's like I used to play football. I'll use a football analogy that you guys may not know football, but you have players and you have a lot of players and only certain ones are on the field. And, Jesus was like the star of the team, so to speak. And Jesus has now moved on and you have been put in the game. And God is giving you the ball. And he's saying, run, church. Run with the ball. You have the ball. And so, run. That's the book of Acts. The church is now going to run. They have the ball now, and they're going to run. Don't neglect that. It's your mission. And so I want to close this way. I want you to think about where and how you can help the kingdom of God go forward. And I want you to think about, are there things that get in the way that maybe need to change? Are there changes in your lifestyle, schedule, whatever's, you know, that need to happen in order for you to do whatever it is, and it can look different for different people, what it would be, but are there changes that need to happen for you to do whatever it is God's calling you to help advance the kingdom, to run with the ball, so to speak? What are those? And so I'm going to give us just a couple minutes to think about that, and you can pray and toward that end. And And then I'll close in prayer here in just a minute.